Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Since we're going into a new chapter, I always like to just a little bit of recap, so we're in the same place. If you've not been around, the bigger recap is we are in a season of going, basically the goal is to get past kind of lukewarm Christianity, lukewarm church thought, to kingdom of God living, of what he's called us to do. And so a big part of that is going to be getting into the scriptures, and look at what he calls us to do that's not of the world or not of lukewarm. And so James is the first book that we're going through on this particular series of things, of going deeper. And we are coming up on chapter 4, and the things up on the screen right now are the things that he has already addressed with us. And if you've been around, you know James doesn't really pull punches. He just kind of hits it hard. One of the reasons why I love this particular book of the Bible, not that I have one that I hate, but nonetheless, this always stands out to me. So just putting back on the table where we've been so far, he's talked to us about suffering and trials and how we need to find joy in the suffering and see it from a God standpoint of maturing and stability and foundation instead of how the world sees it, which is just stressing out and going overwhelmed. He talked to us about choosing to be lowly and humbling ourselves before the Lord. That's going to come back up again today, and let him lift us up. Doing the word, not just hearing the word, but actually doing the word and not deceiving ourselves. Not showing favoritism, that there's no place for favoritism, prejudice, any of that in the body of Christ. We went through faith and works, and that if your faith is not impacting your works, there might be a faith problem there. And then also taming the tongue, which was an easy one. Everybody, you guys have that mastered. And then also wisdom and how wisdom takes and helps us to be able to have it displayed in our actions again. So how that impacts. So today we're going to, ready for it? Go to James 4. So if you got your Bibles, we'll go ahead and pull those out. If you don't, there's baskets underneath the chairs that have Bibles in them that you can keep or still. And then also YouVersion should be up and running as well. Brent, do I have a confirmation? Good. It's up and running, doing good. So we are ready to get into submitting yourself to God. Now, in this section, and again, I know the Holy Spirit puts different things on our hearts and different perspectives and whatnot, but to me, this is where he turns and says, oh, you thought we were going deeper. Now we're going to go deeper. Like, he's put all these things on our plate, and now he's going to the very heart of things that will take and dictate how those other things work out. You're also going to see a lot of repetition. He's going to go back to some things he said. Actually, you'll see that a lot in the Bible, within particular letters, of going through and repeating things with different words, different illustration, whatever the case may be. And there's a reason for that, is because we're generally stupid as human beings. And so, like, even myself going through and looking at the recap of some of the things God has put on my heart in the last 2 months of these studies, and you're like, oh, man, there's a place to grow, and some conviction comes, and you get to grace, and you want to start growing, and it lasts for like 48 hours, and then you hear it like 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. You know, there's something about repetition that's known in culture, let alone within the way that God's designed us. That repetition matters. So this is going to be putting some of those things back up into place. So if it seems like we're saying some of the same things, we are, and that's on purpose. So with that, we're going to do what we usually do. We'll read a little and we'll talk a little. And actually, we're just going to start with one verse to get us started right now, which is verse 1. It says, what causes... Okay, first off, I talk funny. Has anybody ever noticed? My cast. Huh?
I just assumed we all talk funny.
You listen funny. So I'm not a big fan of the word quills. So I'm going to replace that with fights. Was that funny to you? Brent will talk out back. What causes fights and what causes fights among you? I told you, repetition. Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? So according to him, the biggest struggles we have is this internal. So I did not get the paperboard out. I know many would be disappointed. But Carrie's the one who loves it the most, and if she's not here today, I'm not going to bust it out. But I do want to hear from you just some things, like when you think about life, the things that stress you out, the things that overwhelm you, things that bring anxiety, what kind of things bring those kind of responses to you? Go. Work, money. Now, you're speaking real generically. You could, huh? Public? Yeah, there's a scary crowd. Even with some details of that. Not necessarily to tell a personal story, but like, yeah, work stresses everybody. Is there something about work? Is there something about money? What kind of things stress you out?
Health issues.
Health issues? Gotcha. I said details and everybody like freaked out. Relationships? What'd you say, Tammy? Thank you, Tammy. What'd you say?
Other people's safety.
Yeah.
Deadlines.
Deadlines. Okay. Right. What else? What makes you want to smack somebody else? Everybody has their own opinion. Don't you wish God just made us have one? What'd you say? Ignorance. Now, see, it depends. It depends. Especially if I put those two together. Because that a lot of times is, you don't agree with me, so I consider you ignorant. So you have to make sure that your gauge is like the truth and not your opinion. So that gets a little scary. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Hannah, I'm sorry I did that to you. David, you better make it a good one.
Yeah, this is a great one.
Okay. Depends on how they do it, absolutely. And the only reason I say that is because when it comes to the truth of God, if someone's diehard against it, I'm not going to push myself on them, but I'm just still going to have to share with them. Because if we truly believe we have the truth and we have the solution to the eternal salvation, I'd be kind of a jerk if I didn't want to share that. But it's how we do it. It's how we do it. That's a good point. Anybody else?
Injustice.
According to, what's that? Embarrassment of anything in particular, like just screwing something up, or embarrassment of the past, or embarrassment of just anything within that, or someone just treating you badly that puts you in a bad spot? All that, okay. I knew I should have got the paperboard. We got all these good things. Well, here's the thing. When we look at the things that stress us out, and there's a lot of them to do, when we look at things that cause fights, and there's a lot of things that do, according to James, there's a reason for that. I remember when I was growing up in the Baptist churches, the Baptists, they're really good at coming up with with one-liners, the pastors are. And there was one that I've remembered ever since I was probably junior high. I cannot tell you the name of the man who said it, but it's always kind of stuck with me, is that the little things that knock us out of whack, you can sit upon a mountain but not upon attack. And so the goal that he's going for today is the things that really get us upset, the things that really sting us. Are they majors? Are they minors? And are they things that we can bring to the Lord to be able to live a life that's more kingdom of God living instead of like the rest of the world? So that's what he's kind of setting us up into here. So let's bring into that verses 2 and 3. So, and I'm just going to start at 1 again. I like bringing it all together. What causes fights among you? Is it not this, that the passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot attain, so you fight and you fight. See? I'm consistent. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So, the issues. Let's see how these come in. I don't like that I can't see it back there. Newman? It's throwing me that it's not back there. We'll come up with ideas on that. But there's three that he gives us. Okay, so you got desire, which he says equals murder. And that seems like maybe it's extreme language, but it's not extreme language. It maybe is blunt language to get us to pay attention, but it's not extreme. So if I have a desire that I want, I'll keep using the example of like a promotion. Like I want promotion at work, and somebody else is up for it. If you desire that and you are not on track with God, you might gossip, you might slander, you might take and cause problems or throw a hissy fit if things don't seem to be going your way, whatever the case may be, and that ends up murdering the other person. When we have 1 John 3:15, if you want to look that up later, where it's talking about when you hate a brother or you hate a sister. So again, within the context, it's talking within the body of Christ, but I think it has implications for us all the way across the board, is if you hate your brother, you hate your sister, you're a murderer, right? I mean, that's what he calls it. That's what Jesus talks about it in the Gospels, that it's murder to hate somebody else, and that's when we take it to that level. And so he asks us, do you not desire, and you end up murdering. You end up trashing other people. Covetousness, that's not covetousness. Covetousness, which one? Hey, let me bring it up to you, see what I'm saying. Covetousness is what I put, I don't know why. But I guess you can be covet when you're coveting. But coveting is another one that causes fights and fights, right? I'll put the right word up there for you. I want that job. And so that takes and ends up causing problems. And now I'm being called out for gossiping. Now I'm being called out for slander. Now I'm taking and causing conflicts within friendship circles at work, whatever the case may be. And that ends up causing problems there. And then the third one is the bad motives. That you don't have because you don't ask is part of it. And the other part is if you ask and you don't have the right motives, you're not going to get it. That has to go along with that from that particular standpoint. These are the issues that are on the table. Now, again, I'd like when we go through these to use illustrations whenever we can to kind of help us connect, even if you might not be in that situation, just to help the Holy Spirit to be able to personalize it a little bit. In this one, let's see, last week I talked about a marriage one. We'll talk about a church one. And I want to be continually mindful because I think there's been some discussion with even some of you guys, good discussion on it. But there's been a continuing issue with a church called Faith Life Church in Columbus. And I don't mean to harp on it. It's just a continuing situation and there's continuing things that we can learn from to make sure that we don't fall into that ballpark of things. But just a quick intro on that if you've not been around. It's a husband and wife, mega church, thousands of people. I knew the husband and wife 20 years ago. I've not known the last 20 years. I've had concern there because it's the health and wealth gospel, and I do believe that to be a false gospel and hurts people. So there's been concerns there. And then things that came out within the last couple of months of sexual abuse allegations within the church from the pastor's son and two other people, and it's continuing to play out through the court system and having ripple effects. So within that, we do have a church here in town that was, I can 90% say it was a plant of that church. Like it's not, I don't know if they would put that on their website that way, but I've known the pastor for a long time. They've been in town for a long time. Great guy. A couple of our different families in our church have gone there before. But he absolutely, we had a lot of meetings at the beginning, he just really idolized this pastor's group and everything that they did, I'm going to do, and we're going to, I mean, like literally his words, we're going to do exactly the way they did so we can be exactly the same type of church. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. And then, so they are impacted by this as well. And early on within it, there was some people asking questions about maybe some financial situations from the, what he called the mother church, I think, or the mothership, and their church that were not maybe ethical. So that kind of came up, and now that's kind of blown up more. So it's kind of blown up in our community a little bit more. And so from my standpoint, we have to call out what's wrong in the capital C church as much as we do our own church, and we also have to be ready to minister to people that are hurt by it. Okay, so that's why it keeps coming up. In this case scenario, I'll use this as an example as far as what kind of things lead us to challenges. So I shared out a video last week, this week, something like that, of the local pastor doing a talk at his church that they announced right around, because it's, like I said, starting to blow up, of, hey, you guys aren't going to believe this, again, the health and wealth gospel things. I want a new vehicle. My wife said, what do you want? And I said, well, you know, whatever. And she's like, no, you have to be specific. Like, they're taking that's taking it into the biblical aspect. You have to ask for what you want. And so they go to the dealership, and they drive a couple cars, and he leaves. He goes, I really want this truck. Like, he's like, real excited about it. I really want this truck. And he said she agreed with me, and we prayed the prayer of agreement, which I'm going to talk about in a second, which is based on a Bible verse, but it's not necessarily a biblical principle, the way that they're using it. And all I can tell you is that truck is in my driveway, and it's completely paid off. I didn't pay a dime. Nobody in this church paid a dime. I just use God principles. And that's why I have that truck. And you need to be the same like me. Then comes out the video of that same pastor at the mothership with the pastor bringing him up and saying, Pastor, I heard you bought a car. You didn't have enough money paid off, which is a big thing for them. You should just pay off. And you need to be a better example to your flock. That's how he phrased it. So we're going to, our church, with our tithes and offerings, are going to pay off that truck for you. But that part was omitted at the church, so it gives the illusion of a miracle to be the example for the other people. That's wrong. It's just wrong. And again, I love this guy, and he's a good guy, but just like I would say to about somebody that I know that's a Jehovah Witness, or somebody that I know that's in the church, the Mormon Church or the Church of Latter-day Saints, great people, but really off track in a harmful way. And so if I look at all these different principles within it, what takes and plays into it from the issues that are here? I desire to have a certain image. I desire to have a certain way of life. I covet being that big church of these thousands of people. And so I want to be like that. And it's, right now, I can tell you, it's motivating some people spiritually. And it's causing fights and quarrels, or whatever you want to call it, because of covetousness is a problem within that. And bad motives, listen, I'll give you a couple of voices here, because these are used a lot in the health and wealth end of things. John 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I would do it. That's brought up a lot in health and wealth gospels, that whatever you ask, he's doing it. He said that, and that's not what that scripture says. It says, if you ask in my name, and my name means according to my will. So if I'm asking for things of Jesus that is part of Jesus' will, I can guarantee it's going to happen. That's not the same thing as I want a new truck. And I'm not sure why it's always about vehicles and houses, but anyways. Matthew 18:19, and this is the one where they pull out prayer of agreement. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I want a new truck. My wife agrees. We pray. We get it. Well, was it according to my will? Was it in my name? We can't take things out of the context of the scripture as a whole. So we have to have all these things put into this place. John, the one we just read, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Sometimes a truck is the will of God. He wants you to have a truck so you can get to work, so that you can do ministry, whatever the case might be. But we have vehicles. I want another vehicle for my birthday. I really want that truck. Might be a little harder to sell. Maybe it's God's will. Maybe it's not. But according to how we pray, it's only what's in his will that matters. So, I'll talk about that in a second. So if you're thinking about your prayer life right now, we'll give you these. And these come in one at a time. So I would do this. So, first off, for our note takers, because we do have a lot of note takers in church, so we like to give them notes. And again, like last week, it's abundant this week. So, if you think about your prayer life and how that works, and you need the help with these issues that we've been talking about, what do you pray for? That'd be the first thing to start really, just kind of spend some time with Jesus about. What is my prayers for? Do I find myself praying in a way that is a true conversation with God? The God, my Father, my King, my Lord, or am I just shooting off at the mouth what I want, my want list? Do this one here. What don't you pray for? And that might sound a little odd, but that's the problem some people have over top of what I'm praying about, is because, well, I don't really deserve anything. If you've accepted Jesus as leader and forgiven your life, you're still the Son of the risen King. He still wants to hear from you. He still wants to hear your heart. If you don't think you're deserving, you're not. None of us are. But it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that he invites us in so we can come confidently to him. So what's on your heart? Oh, if you think something's too small for God, you're wrong. I love that about God. What are your motives in your prayers? Because again, that's what it came back to, is the bad motives. So are your motives for yourself? Are your motives for just what you think from a worldly standpoint? Or is your motives to be in the will of God? Next one. Do you pray more about stuff that you want than about direction, about what God wants for him to teach you, to show you, to speak through the word, to speak through Christian community with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it his leading that you're praying for, or are you trying to lead him through your prayers? That makes a huge, huge difference. And then these two I'll just kind of give you together. Is it in agreement and is it according to his will? When we pray, most of the time, and this is what we're invited to pray with, so you pray and you pray about anything that's on your heart, everything and anything. Don't get me wrong to say like, okay, now I have to make sure it matches up to this before I can bring it up to my daddy. Your daddy wants to hear everything. Wants to hear everything. When my kids talk to me, I want to hear everything. My requests, my concerns, asking for advice, whatever the case may be. And then we end the prayer, usually, right, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jesus' name is according to your will. That's what that means. So I'm invited to come to my God and say everything, everything, and just lay it out. And then, like Jesus in the garden, who did the exact same thing, if there's any other way but this, do it. But not my will, your will be done. In Jesus' name, I want it to be in agreement with your will. Oh, I don't want it. I don't want it. Amen. Amen, one of the ways it translates, and the way that I usually think of it, it means so shall it be. It's a declaration of knowing that this is going to happen. So here's all my stuff, but according to your will, so shall it be. That's what we bring to our prayer life that helps us to get past those issues. Does that make sense? Make sense? Okay. So let's see. Oh, yeah. Now, I will say this because I do want to be fair all the way together in that particular situation I was talking about. The local pastor of that church, he did step away from association with that the mothership with the big church the week after the allegations started coming out. I still have the concerns of it's still pastoral-driven where the pastor has all power. I still have concerns that it's family-led, that almost all the staff is family members. That's usually a warning sign that things could get really weird really fast. They still preach health and wealth, and they immediately joined another group that's Health and Wealth Association as well. So still be praying for them, because I've still got those initial concerns, but there was a separation there, and I want to make sure that that part's in there as well. So we'll let them work out the rest of that. So again, easy to see in pastors, easy to see in churches. How does that play out in your life? Okay. Blank screen. Okay. Let's go on to the next section there. We're going to start out in verse 4, where he says, and this is what he has to say about all this. He's so gentle, so gentle. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
Thank you. With God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is of no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he is made to dwell in, I'm going to say you. It's in us, but you. But he gives more grace. That's one of the most beautiful scriptures right there. You'll find in the whole Bible. He gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and moan and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So, adultery is against God, and we're going to talk about that problem a little bit. Adultery, by the definition you're going to find in the dictionary, is this, that it's voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and someone other than their spouse. Pretty much impossible to do to God. Okay? That's like the world understands it. I'm going to humbly submit to you this definition, which I think encompasses the original. It's a serious violation of one's vows made to someone you are intimate covenant relationship with. And if that's true, when you take and cheat on God, it is adultery. And I love all of us here. But the fact is, in reality, at some point in our lives, all of us are adulterous. All of us are adulterous. So it's not beating anybody up for that particular aspect of things. But it's a serious violation of one's vows made to someone you're on intimate covenant relationship with. And that's what relationship with the Lord is. When we look at covenant relationships, again, talking about marriage, that's a covenant relationship. You have a set of agreement. We're agreeing to this. We're going to come together in some tangible, which in our culture right now is the wedding ceremony and the marriage license. And now we are bonded together. It's not just like, hey, you want to be buds for a while? Yeah, let's hang out until it's not convenient for me anymore. It is, we're committed to each other. It's a covenant relationship that's supposed to be for life. And when we have covenant relationships with God, it's a little different. God sets all the terms and we say, okay, so I submit my life to you. I'm in. And then we accept him as leader and forgiver in our lives by acknowledging with our mouth he's the Son of God, believing in our hearts he died and rose again. Not my life anymore, fully your life, I'm following you. Then that is the tangible on our end, because the tangible on his end was the blood on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we're in covenant relationship with him. So when we go back to the worldly way of things, we are committing a serious violation against the person that we are in covenant relationship by cheating on him. I'd say behind his back, but nothing's behind his back. And so that's what James is trying to get us into, this level of things, is understanding a little bit more than, oops, I did it again, type thing, and moving forward into those aspects of things. So, notes, toy, what to do with you. Okay, this part was so easy on me again. None of this is original. This is James. First off, humble yourself. Humble yourself. If you realize that you have been cheating on God, then humble yourself before him. Because what? He lifts you up. Whenever we try to lift ourselves up, it never works out. It never works out, and it's usually pretty painful. But if we simply just come, again, conviction's an invitation to grace. So if we simply just come and humble ourselves before God, then he takes care of the rest. The next thing he tells us is to submit yourself to God. Say, okay, I've been trying it. I've been running into the ditch over and over again. I'm letting go of the will. It's yours. Submit yourself to God. So if you think about everything we've covered so far in James, it's kind of an overwhelming statement, but true and easy. Submit yourself to God. I was talking to my accountant's secretary. She was talking about her son. Like, she's been in the faith all her life, and her son was talking about how hard it is to submit yourself to God. And she said, it really isn't. And that's the complexing thing about it. It is so hard, and it's so easy just to say yes to him and no to the goofiness. It's both. I believe it's truly both. That's why we need the Spirit. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, continue to put all of these in context. Don't just try one and see if it's going to be the magic trigger. All of these are in context. I humble myself before the Lord, submit myself to God, and in submission to God, then I can resist the devil. And then the promise of the Scripture is this: he will flee. He will flee. Do you remember we were talking about with Easter coming up that the theme of that particular day is run, Satan? We're building towards something. We're building towards something. If you resist the devil when you're submitted to the Lord, it is a promise that he has to flee. It's not the only one with the promise. Let's get this one up there. Draw near to God. Submit to God, resist the devil. That's going to give some openness there. So we're going to draw near to God and fill that. And the promise there is if you do that, he will draw near to you. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you believe the Scripture, I kind of happen to. Next one, cleanse your hands, purify your heart. Now you're getting into a little bit more action than God. Oh, God, save me from this. Satan, please leave me alone. Now you're doing something. You're repenting, you're praying, you're doing confession. You're getting other people in your life within the Christian community, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to help you with that, whether it be an accountability partner, whatever the case may be. Sounds like the standard answers, but we need each other, and we need the Lord. And here's why. That scripture there in Matthew 6, does anybody know what that's referencing? Nobody? It's really the part of the Lord's Prayer that we should be adding into our recital when we recite it. I'm not saying we will, but I'm saying that we as believers should know that there's the Lord's Prayer that Mike leads us in often, all the way down, and then we stop at amen. But what the scripture stops with, if you forgive others, God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, don't expect forgiveness from God. It's not as fun and flowery as the rest of the prayer, is it? That's a very serious implication. I gotta really consider, how does that work? For me to be asking God for forgiveness, I do not deserve. So I have to exhibit my own life as well. So clean your hands. Put tangibles into it. Apologize. Have those conversations. I'm not saying go into unsafe places without safe boundaries. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, how do we control what we control? Next one is be single-minded. Be single-minded. That's not in your married life. But put your mind on God and God alone. Be wretched, moan, and weep. So most stuff that doesn't sound as fun, we like coming to church and we want to hear about joy and we want to lift our hands and we want to talk about happiness. But according to the Word of God, there are times and seasons in our lives we need to stop taking and playing the face game and be brokenhearted about our relationship with God, or a moment or a season with God. Do we let that happen? Because when that happens, we humble ourselves and then He can lift us up. Everybody still with me? Well, still with James. I'm just completely cheating off of him now. So let me give you an example on this. Okay. So if I haven't bugged you on marriage and church stuff, let's talk about men. I knew that was going to be a response because women outnumber men here. And in most churches in the world. I will say statistically, men are stepping up a little bit more than they used to. We went up 3%. You go, men. Okay. So I'll give you this as the example of how we can play this out. Let's say you're a guy, and you're a good guy. You love God. You were raised in the church. We're going to give you all the possible best case scenarios. You have goals for your life and your 401k and for the future and what you want for your kids and what you want for your house and all those fun things. And so you're a pretty good red-blooded, blue-blood, whatever that would be, red-blooded way, American guy. And you love God, but the churchy stuff, like the spiritual stuff, that's really her job. That's more her role. So she can pick a church. I'll go, but I'll let her pick the church. I'll let her pick the community that we're in. I'll let her have the conversations with the kids. And all that fun stuff. That's I was kind of raised, mom dealt with all that. I'm going to let her deal with all that. And so you usually kind of focus on these other things, but I'm behind you, wife. I've got you covered. Okay. So then one day you happen to come across scripture. Imagine that. Or that pastor says something, or you see something on TV, or whatever the case may be. Whereas the husband in the household, as the man, as the father, all of a sudden you realize, crap, I've actually got extra accountability for the way that I'm spiritually leading my family. And so now what do you do with that? What do you do with that? Do you step up? And like, the mentality that I've seen in, is the guy will say, okay, I'll go to church. I need to go from that mentality. And sometimes I like to sleep in on Sundays. So don't ask me to volunteer. Don't ask me to give the time or money. If I skip a couple of weeks because I want to sleep, for the love of God, don't ask me if I'm doing okay and where I'm at, because I just want to be able to skip whenever I want to be able to skip, and I have, you know, no accountability. God forbid somebody actually care if you're doing okay, right? But that's how it's taken and stuff. How to move from that to taking the lead and or taking a serious role. Within, I mean, if it wasn't for Jenny, the Hypes household would probably be going to Hades. But it's my role to take that lead, right, with her. And so what do I do with that? Do I humble myself? Do I take a look at it and I submit myself to God on what His plan is and step up, confess some things? Do I resist the devil and he will flee from me and my mentality and get involved in my spiritual life and my family spiritual life and my church's spiritual life? Will he draw near to us? Will I cleanse my hands and start doing things different? Will I be single-minded about the Lord more important than what my retirement plan is, or how nice my yard looks on any particular Sunday? Will I be wretched, mourn, and weep? Will I humble myself and He lifts me up? And as He lifts me up, He lifts up my family and He lifts up our entire life situation. Because the gentleman I'm talking about is someone I care about. And the gentleman I'm talking about did not do this. And the gentleman's family paid prices for it. This conversation I had with him was about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. So we have enough distance to know that it hurt him, it hurt his wife, it caused fights upon fights. It was murderous. And he never, I truly, this is horrible for me to say, and I could be wrong, and God is the one that judges this, but I don't know if that man ever really asked God for anything outside of anything, because he was in full control of everything. What does he need God for? Don't do that. When you look at these things that James has given us, it is powerful, straightforward word of God, and we decide whether or not we fool ourselves or we do it. And when we do it, then we're truly looking at moving further and further into the kingdom of God living in our lives.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.